I'm Al John Goh, podcaster and producer of the Disney List, Skull Rock Podcast, and Dining at Disney. When you're creating content, podcast, webcasting, live streaming, or wanting to step up your video conference calls, you need quality gear and accessories. That's why I use Gator Frameworks in my studio. From professional broadcast boom arms and microphone stands, studio monitor speaker stands, ring light kits, headphone holders, elite furniture studio desks, and acoustic wall treatments, Gator Frameworks has you covered. Gator is the leading brand of cases, stands, and support system solutions for music, pro AV, creative pro, IT, and general utility industries. They have over 1,000 different solutions made from vacuform plastics, rational molded plastics, wood, sewn, and EVA materials. Leveraging their expertise in case design and manufacturing, Gator has a complete OEM division that works with leading companies around the world to engineer and create custom cases for original equipment manufacturers. For more information, visit GatorFrameworks.com.
Product provided in exchange for promotional consideration.
I'm Kristen Hetzel, co-host of Dining at Disney podcast. Every week I chat about dining at Disneyland and Walt Disney World Resort and Disney Cruise Line with my fellow foodie, Bubba. We also feature restaurants and food reviews, information to help you plan your dining, Disney food news, recipes, and a monthly panel discussion. Visit diningatdisney.com and subscribe to Dining at Disney podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, or your favorite podcast platform. Dining at Disney podcast, the happiest plate on earth.
Welcome in to yet another edition of the Disney List. Al John and Kristen here hanging out. And before we get into today's show, a little bit of housekeeping. I'd like to send a big thank you and shout out to Gator Frameworks. They've got all kinds of great stuff for you content creators out there. Or if you just want to snazzy up your workspace because you're working remotely in this challenging time. Boy, don't I sound crazy like that when I say that. But they have awesome desks, work desks. They've got LED rings, light rings, so that you can make your live stream and I guess your video conferencing, because that's of course a big thing now, look better than ever, including these snazzy mic stands that Kristen and I use every single week on the Disney List and all of our different podcasts. So please give them a look. We're going to have the link in our show notes, but you can check out GatorFrameworks.com. Because we are broadcasting, after all, from the Gator Framework Studio. So, there you have it.
I like the all-in-one combination thing where you've got your ring light and your microphone and everything all attached to, like, one stand.
I think that's so cool.
And that's perfect, I think, for anybody who is working from home and wants to look good on camera and doesn't want to look like they're in their basement or something. Yeah,
exactly. Well, the ring lights are great because they've got the ring light on a stand. They've got the ring light on a desk stand with a base, which is cool. So ring lights are pretty important. But anyway, you can check out the link in the show notes or just go to GatorFrameworks.com and tell them that the Disney List sent you. We'd appreciate that. Another thing you can do to support the show. And by the way, that all-in-one content creator, it's the Creator Tree by Gator Frameworks. That was just released. It's brand new.
Very, very cool. It's brand new. I like that.
Yeah. It's brand new.
That'd be perfect for MySpace downstairs.
Yeah, I think it would be great for all of our podcast friends. That'd be really cool. But anyway, okay. So we have that. And then the other thing you can do to support our show, there's a couple things. First of all, you can go to anchor.fm and click the support button. And then from anywhere from like 99 cents to $4.99 to $9.99 a month, you can help the show out. And you'll get some cool stuff if you decide to do that. Okay? So awesome. Thank you for those of you that do support us on a monthly basis. We appreciate it. The other thing, and probably the most important thing you can do, is book your next Disney trip with Kristen. Right?
Yes. I would like it if people book their trip with me.
People are starting to really get back into the swing of things and start booking their Disney trip, their cruise, any cruise line, really. Adventures by Disney will be bouncing back soon. And of course, the parks are here. They're doing their thing. So go ahead and let everyone know how they can email you and get you to help them book their dream Disney vacation.
Or Universal or Cruise Line. They can contact me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.
I like it.
is a production of the Sorcerer Radio Network.
Have imagination, huh?
Are you guys ready?
Are you ready?
From the Gator Framework Studio in Music City, it's the Disney List. The Disney List. Disney fans Kristen Hetzel and Al John Go bring you top 10 lists from the Disney parks, films, Star Wars, Marvel, news, travel tips, and more. Now prepare yourself for the Disney List.
Right on. Thank you for joining us, whether you're catching us on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com or any one of your favorite podcast platforms. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. It's the Disney List. And yes, every week we do count down top tens. We rank things that happen to do with Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars. And the parks, of course. Of course, the parks. My name is Al John Go. I am a lifelong Disney nerd, Star Wars fan, Marvel fan, comic book guy, pop culturist. You can email me, Al John Go, or yeah, email me. You can email me at the Disney List at gmail.com. Right. Or you could just follow me on Instagram at Al John Go. Yeah, that's the best thing you can do there. DM me, what have you. Leave us your feedback about this podcast, everywhere you get podcasts. But I'm also joined by...
Kristen. I'm Kristen. Yes.
And you want to tell them, like, what you do?
What I do? See, normally you do all that.
I do that, but I thought I'd change it up today.
I'm glad you changed it up.
I didn't give you the memo. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, you didn't. Sorry. But I'm glad you changed it up because for the past few weeks, I've been thinking... Why don't I get to say who I am?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But I don't.
Say who you are.
Now I do. Yeah. I am Kristen, Disney foodie, travel. I don't want to say travel guru. I want to say maybe like travel explorer because I like to travel and I get to travel and I've been to many places. So I think travel explorer maybe would be a better phrase.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I wish you would have vlogged like Soraya does, like on YouTube.
Soraya?
Yeah, isn't that her name, that travel blogger and beauty blogger you used to follow, doing all the pictures and stuff?
Oh, gosh, no. What was, I can picture her.
Anyway.
It starts with an S, though.
It's not Serena.
Oh.
Serena? No, I said Soraya. No.
Yeah, I don't think it's that either. No? I'm going to have to look that up.
All right, whatever. Hey, we've gone down this rabbit hole. It happens on occasion. That's what happens when the two of us get together. So we have an awesome show for you planned. Kristen, it's about Valentine's. It's about love, kind of. Last week we had the, what did we do? The top romantic Disney couples,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the top 10 Disney couples.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty cool. And we've done in the past, we've done Valentine's Day shows, theme shows before. And we did the most romantic. What did we do? The most romantic Disney rides, something like that. I don't know. We did a bunch.
I don't know. I'm sure you feel the same way because you do two shows plus produce a third.
Yes. Yeah.
And I do two shows a week. I feel like, I do three shows a week. I do two different shows a week. Yeah. But I feel like sometimes it makes everything in your head after a while.
It does. Well, I was getting ready to do the intro for Skull Rock Podcast that I host with
Dave
Bossard. And I'm just like, you and I have been doing these weekly shows for Sorcerer Radio since 2009.
That's a long time.
And we hosted Tiki Room, WDW Tiki Room, WDW After Dark. You did Castaway Midday and I produced it.
With Natalie, that was fun.
And we did, and then of course, what else did I do? Yeah, we did those. Those are the shows we've done so many. And I'm trying to think, what did we miss any other? We used to produce that video content for Cooking with Mickey back in the day when it was a thing, and we used to blog all the time. But this week of all weeks, team Sorcerer Radio was founded in 2001.
That was a few years ago,
and on the fourth, what day was it? What day are we doing this?
16th.
The 16th is when Sorcerer Radio turns 21. My goodness. Goodness, goodness me.
Oh, it can now drink.
Okay. Sure.
Well, I mean.
That's true. It's true. 21 years old Sorcerer Radio is. Crazy. I think it DJ Sorcy just started doing the streaming on Live 365 just for study music. And then Character Breakfast podcast to follow. And then our show and well, Jeff's show and then our show. And it's just crazy how it's all expanded over time. And I used to be super into the programming with Wayne and Sorcy. Oops. Just, you know, getting all kinds of great production going. And now other people have really stepped up and helped out, you know, with that, which is great. While my career is kind of taking a different direction. So it's cool though, to continue to do the show and continue to see the Sorcerer Radio family expand and grow and, continue to do this for 21 years. How crazy is that?
Speaking though of Castaway Midday that I did with Natalie, yes. I do have to give a shout out to Connor because it's his birthday. And he is now old enough to drive a car.
Oh, my Lord.
Which is crazy because when we first started going to the parks together, Natalie and I, he was just 4. It's crazy to think that many years has gone by.
Why don't we have Natalie on the show?
We should.
Let's just do a reunion because she actually used to do WDW Tiki Room with us.
Yeah.
A lot. And, gosh, who else was like guest hosts in the show? I mean, we do the occasional WDW After Dark reunion where we had, and I think it's high time we do another one of those reunions. They're always a lot of fun. We did the Sorcerer Radio, that mega show with like everybody for the holidays. That was insane. That was insane.
Yeah, that was a lot of people.
That was a lot. Man, it was insane. But you can go back in the show archives. I think we're the only show that actually put it together, the Sorcerer Radio, the big old meetup that we did, the virtual meetup, which was cool. But anyway, we digress. We are doing this top 10 list today, which is a top 10 couple things, must-do things that we have done at the parks since it is Valentine's Day. So please check that out. In the meantime, though, we do have some awesome news, I think. Yes. Oh, man. What can I say? Did you like Book of Boba Fett? Boba Fett.
I did. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
What did you think it was going to be?
I kind of expected it to be a little bit more like, what you see of Boba Fett in the movies. So oh, like, kind of like a tough guy kind of thing.
Well, he was. He's turned over a new leaf.
But we don't have to, you see a very different side of him in this. But I will say the last few episodes have been amazing. And I really, really enjoyed the last episode. It's more of what I expected to see throughout the series.
Yeah. Yeah, more fights. More gun battles, more fights, right? But anyway, so there's our little thumbs up on Book of Boba Fett. I enjoyed it, you know. And I feel that when we talk about Star Wars specifically, more so than any other franchise that Disney owns, fans are just, their expectations, because they love Star Wars so much, is off the roof crazy, like off the chain crazy.
I was going to say, they are brutal.
You know, and I think
their reviews.
And I think it's part because when people tease things and they set up their expectations, like, guys, gals, look, just because you have these expectations doesn't mean it's going to go the way you think. You know, it's not going to go the way you think. And for me, I think this series has done a really good job of leaving the taste of like, oh, we want more of this, and still making some kind of sense. And I think, too, the project Book of Boba Fett was one of those series where Lucasfilm was going through some stuff with a pandemic. along with, you know, Marvel and Disney, of course, Disney Plus and all that. So there were some things content wise that they couldn't really get to where they really wanted it to be. Some of that was due to the stars and the different controversy surrounding some of the stars and the writing team. But I think overall it's great. But I will tell you this. At the end of the day, we've got Star Wars, and Star Wars is back, and Star Wars is good, guys. Star Wars is good right now. And with that being said, I got the new press release from Disney Plus. They've got the new limited series, Obi-Wan Kenobi, debuting, get this, on May 25th. The same day that Star Wars debuted in theaters, the original Star Wars in 1977. How about that? Right? It's where Obi-Wan made his first big screen debut.
Wait, isn't that also during the time that they have the thing? I can't think of what they call their Star Wars convention out in Anaheim.
Well, I know.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
What, a celebration?
Yes.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I was thinking that's when Celebration was. Okay, I could be wrong.
26, May 26th, so just right before it. Holy smokes. Really? Is it Celebration then?
Yes.
Wow, May 26th this year through 29th. My goodness gracious. So that's going to be a thing. So there you go. So are you familiar with the cast that has been announced for this show so far?
Other than Ewan McGregor?
Yeah, Ewan McGregor reprising his role as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And Hayden Christensen.
Yep, and Hayden Christensen.
I am aware of that.
Anakin Skywalker, a.k.a. Darth Vader. But we also have a few other people in there as well. Joining the cast are Moses Ingram, Joel Edgerton, Bonnie Precy, Kumail Nanjiani, Indira Varma, Rupert Friend, O'Shea Jackson Jr., Kung Sang, Simone Kessel, and I wonder if Simone Kessel did the Kessel run in 12 Parsecs, and Benny Sadfi. Right. And that's good stuff right there. So you have an international awesome cast. You've got the two. You've got Obi-Wan. You've got, I don't know how Anakin, a.k.a. Darth Vader, is going to be in there. I don't know if he's going to be in a lot of episodes. Maybe it'll be in a couple. But there you have it. It's going to be happening. The original series launches once again May 25th, exclusively on Disney Plus.
Interesting.
Speaking of Disney Plus, Steven Spielberg's award-winning, critically acclaimed West Side Story debuting on Disney Plus beginning March 2nd. This film, coincidentally, had been nominated for 77 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Supporting Actress. So that should be great. So please give that a look beginning March 2nd. Very cool. How about this? National Treasure. It's coming back to Disney Plus. We talked about this, right?
Yes.
You're familiar with it? Now, guess what? They have an actress who signed her name to the dotted line. Who is it?
Catherine Zeta-Jones or Zeta, whatever you want to call her. I'm not sure how I feel about this because the last time she was added to something, thinking it was going to make things better and people would like it more.
Oh, no.
It caused the show to get canceled. So.
Are you talking about Blacklist?
No, she wasn't on Blacklist. She was on Prodigal Son.
Oh, Prodigal Son. Oh, that's right. Well.
Which I loved because I'm a fan of Tom. I just drew a blank.
From Walking Dead.
Yeah. Why can't I think of it?
Oh, I don't know.
The name of the guy from Lucifer is what's popping in my head. Thomas Paine. Tom Paine. That's his name. Tom Ellis is what was like coming into my head. And I was like, no, that's Lucifer.
Oh, no. Thomas Paine is a great actor. Yeah. But what I liked about Prodigal Son is that you had House and Sage on there from the Orville. So there you go. That's why I liked it. Yeah, but of course I didn't follow.
Who
it
like was House
did.
And Sage? Who is that?
His sister.
Oh.
Yeah, she played the security officer on the Orville.
Did not know that.
And I think she's also like the girlfriend of Seth MacFarlane too, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, she's joining the crew of National Treasure. She's playing, who is she playing? Billy. A billionaire, awesome female, black market antiquities expert, trying to say that 10 times fast, and treasure hunter who lives by her own code. So there you go.
I'm guessing that means Diane Kruger would not be back.
I don't know what this means. I feel like they're probably setting this up to be its own thing. I don't necessarily know if there's going to be any crossover with the original cast.
Well, boo.
So I don't know if you're going to see Nick Cage in it, right? So it's like, Aww. Oh, come on, man. Nick Cage has got to be in it, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. Very interesting.
All right. We'll keep you updated. Hey, the Netflix shows from Marvel, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, The Defenders, leaving Netflix soon. Before Disney Plus existed, Netflix was the only streaming giant when it came to the Marvel series on TV. But now it has released 6 different series since 2015, and it's going to make an exit through Netflix. The license of The Defenders, including Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, and The Punisher, is ending. It'll leave midnight on March 1st. March 1st of this year. And
it appears to me from things I have seen that half of the cast from The Defenders, like the, you know, main cast of it,
right,
half of them, that the actors will be moving into the Marvel universe.
Yeah. So Charlie Cox, as a lot of people know, the spoiler, you know, alert for the next second or two, in Spider-Man, Charlie Cox, who played Daredevil, is here, is in the MCU now. They were MCU adjacent, so they didn't necessarily intermingle with the rest of the Marvel heroes, but now what we wanted as fans is coming to fruition. So he's on there. Vincent D'Onofrio from Daredevil also made his debut in the Hawkeye series earlier this year, or last year, I guess, before the holidays. So very cool on that.
I've heard that Kristen Ritter is possibly coming back.
Yes, which would be great because we love Kristen Ritter. I thought Jessica Jones is an amazing character. It's too bad, though. We don't know what's going on with the rest of the characters. We know the rest of the characters may be coming back, but not the actors like Mike Coulter, right?
That's the one I'm trying to think of. I like him, but he's on that TV show Evil on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, which we do like, by the way.
And I heard they're looking to do Iron Fist as a different direction from what we saw on Netflix.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. We will see what happens there. I'm excited, though, about the prospect of these characters coming back in some form in a Disney, in the Marvel cinematic, or should I say Marvel multi, or cinematic multiverse, right? That's what it is now. All right. So, bad news, Beauty and the Beast fans, those of you holding your breath for the brand new series that features Gaston and LeFou for Disney Plus is not going to be launching anytime soon. It's been kind of put on the back burner because of the different things going on. Yes, it's going to be put on hold because of cast scheduling conflicts and creative elements and bad weather and all kinds of different things, right? So Josh Gad is coming back as LeFou, Luke Evans coming back as Gaston. And it looks like it's going to be an origin story for those two characters before Gaston and LeFou meet Belle and Beast.
I will say I do like him as Gaston. Luke Evans, right? Isn't that his name?
Yeah, it says Josh Gad confirmed the news on Twitter, acknowledging at least for now that the series will not be made. And there you go. Nothing can be done about it. But I know Josh Gad is doing a bunch of different show running and producing and different things right now. So it's just a matter of trying to get everything else to align.
I will say that I watched A Dog's Journey, which is the second one to A Purpose. And the fact that he's the voice really just kind of was distracting me because it doesn't bother me to see him like as an actor on screen, but if he's a voice, I feel like I just keep hearing Olaf talking to me. Kind of like how, oh gosh, I just drew a blank of his name. I can picture him. Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
I always just, to me, he is Remy.
Yeah. Yeah. Even on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
no matter what, he is always Remy.
Yeah. And you should hear him on MODOK Marvel's MODOK on Hulu. That's hilarious because it's like Remy, but crazy Remy.
It's just, crazy. It's just, no.
Yeah, it's got a very distinct voice. But Josh Gad.
But I didn't know who he was until seeing Ratatouille. So his voice is ingrained as being Remy to me.
Right. Well, so that's on hold. What isn't on hold was the financial call Q1 shareholders report for the Walt Disney Company came out a few days ago. And there was a lot of stuff to talk about there. And they focused more on what's going on in theme parks and then Disney Plus than anything. They didn't really take the time to talk about all the upcoming content, but they did mention it. But Disney comments on recent park capacity, and we've never been given the actual numbers, but Bob Chapek did sort of answer a question about capacity. He said the parks were generally operating without significant mandatory pandemic-related capacity restrictions. However, we continue to manage capacity to address ongoing pandemic considerations with respect to our guest cast and health and safety. So, yeah. So they're still doing best practices. That's what they're kind of saying. But they did say that it had its second best quarter of all time in terms of profit. Okay.
I wonder why.
Hang on to your horses. 21.819 billion in Q1 of this year.
It's an increase of more than $5 billion from the same quarter of the year before.
Yeah, how about that? Insanity.
Like I said, Bob Paycheck.
This profit also makes the most recent quarter the second best quarter of all time for the company when broken down. $14.5 billion of that profit came from Disney Media and Entertainment, while $7.2 billion came from Parks, Experience, and Products, now that they're actually open.
Okay, so when you think $7.2 billion and the fact that they're still having restrictions, that tells you that Bob increased a lot of prices to make that money.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. Plus, they're selling merchandise at an all-time high. Disney Plus is doing extremely well. The subscription service had 118.1 million subscribers. And that's huge considering it only debuted a couple years ago. I'm sorry. Back up the truck. It's actually now reported 129.8 million subscribers. That's 11.8 million subscribers gained since October of last year. That's insane.
And that's worldwide, right?
Yeah, worldwide.
Wonder if that's if where it's available has changed at all.
It has, because they keep on adding new countries every month. And they, in fact, I think overseas, and I think maybe India, just started streaming WWE. They did a deal on that.
Really?
Yeah, they have license to stream WWE over there because there's no other. They don't have Peacock over there, of course. Or I don't know what else they're using. They're using some other network. But I mean, they think about all the streaming, rights fees that they're getting because people want their content on Hulu or Disney Plus. But in travel news, you've got something here.
Yes, Disney Wish is taking reservations again. So if you are looking to travel on the Disney Wish, they have changed the date of the maiden voyage. Originally, that was June 9th of this year, and they have postponed that to July 14th.
Wow, that's awesome.
I can't wait to go on that ship. Actually, I can't wait for us to take a Disney cruise, because I've done a Disney cruise, but you have not.
No. It'll be fun. So since this is Valentine's Day, when you're hearing this, Valentine's Day, Disney wanted to let you know that they've got some interesting factoids for you. Are you ready for some of these? You want to check these out?
Sure, let's go for it.
All right. Disney viewers feel that Valentine's Day is the perfect occasion to show someone how much you care about them. 85% when it comes to Valentine's Day, 85%. Say it's a perfect occasion for you to show how much you care for your significant other. When it comes to Valentine's Day gifts, Disney viewers agree. 91% say it feels nice to receive a Valentine's Day gift or card.
rest of the other people. They don't want anything.
It's like they don't care about the rest. The other ones don't care. 88% feel it's nice to give a Valentine's Day gift or card.
So there's...
Aren't these funny? God. Aren't these funny?
Yes, they are. They're entertaining.
Like, who doesn't want to get a card or a gift? Like, and
I would think that would have been at 100%. People feel that it's nice to receive something, whether or not you like the holiday. To me, when do you not want to receive something?
I don't know. These people are fuddy-duddies, I guess. The rest
there's 9% of these people that I guess they just don't like getting things.
Like bah humbug people. Okay. Cozying up at home, they say 72% of Disney viewers would rather stay in and watch TV or movies, good for them, right, at Disney Plus, than go out, which is 20% on Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they might be doing a little bit of some little hanky-panky there, staying in and watching TV or movies. But okay, cool. All right. Well, that helps Disney, right? With Disney Plus and Hulu.
Well, and the thing is think how many people over the past 2 years now have learned that they like to be at home.
Yeah.
And right. That going out to the movies and to dinner at times can be overrated.
Well, sure. I get it. Now, there you go. Now, in terms of advertisements, this is thanks to Disney's advertising team that we get this, gang. 73% are favorable toward Valentine's Day related products and services and ads. 71% like Valentine's Day ads that feel relevant, and 54% are more interested in Valentine's Day related products after seeing an ad. Isn't that hilarious?
None of that at all applies to me, just because I personally have never been a fan of Valentine's Day. Now, I like cards or gifts any day of the week, any day of the year. So I'm not going to complain about getting something on Valentine's Day. But I feel like it's an overrated, overpriced holiday.
Oh.
I feel like it should be like Bob Chapek should be the one to like promote Valentine's Day.
I'm sure his team put together that graph that I'm reading, that infographic. So there you go. Hey, gang, I hope you really dug our news for this week. Feel free to email us at thedisneylist@gmail.com and let us know what stories you'd love for us to cover, or if you have any questions yourself, or if you just want to simply write a review about the show. We welcome it. We definitely welcome it. Yes.
I do have to mention before when we were discussing the travel YouTuber that I like to watch, because yes. She's travel and photography. Sorrel Amore is Sorrel. Her name.
Oh, yeah. Sorrel. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I was close. I was definitely close.
It's the Disney List. Top 10. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right. So here it is. It is Valentine's Day, and last week we covered some romance, if you will. Top 10 couples. You can go back in the show archive and check that show out. But since today is a special day for a lot of people out there, Valentine's Day, we thought we'd take a moment and say, leave the kids at home, lock them up, throw away the key, go to Disney as a couple. And when I say go to Disney, I mean specifically Walt Disney World this time. We're going to talk about the top 10 things that couples can do, you and your significant other, at the Walt Disney World Resort. These are personally vetted by us and a couple that are just awesome suggestions. So.
Are we going to start with a honorable mention?
Yes, we're going to start with an honorable mention because during this day and age, during this time specifically, this one is not open to the public, but it is something I believe is 100% worth mentioning, especially when they open back up. And this is
Victoria and Albert's.
And by the way, this list is not in any order. Consider this as a kind of suggestion list. Sorry about that. I think I got the hiccups.
It's
now.
Like number 10 could be number one.
Absolutely. And this isn't even number 10. This is actually number 11 on the list, is it not?
It's an honorable mention, which means it doesn't have a number.
That's right. And why do we talk about, let's talk a little bit about Victoria and Albert's just anyway. Victoria and Albert's is Orlando's only 5-star Michelin rated restaurant, right?
Yes.
And that means it's awesome. It is a culinary foodie's dream restaurant. It's amazing. And we're lucky enough to save up and have this experience. This is a really nice kind of a formal restaurant. So you definitely a coat, and women are encouraged to wear.
You need to wear a cocktail dress
or what have you.
Or a pantsuit.
Yes, pantsuit.
If you don't wear dresses.
But it's definitely not something that you just, unless of course you wear a suit to the park or something like that. You definitely want to dress up for this. But the food is amazing. The staff, the wait staff, the head wait, everybody, maitre d', sommelier, awesome, 100%. And it's very extravagant. We did the food wine pairing there, and it is one we will never forget. That's probably the best overall food culinary experience I think I've ever had in my life. Pretty good. Anyway.
One of my favorites,
yes. Number 10. We're actually starting down this this list now. Number 10 is what?
It is a horse-drawn excursion. So they've got carriage rides that you can do over at Port Orleans Riverside. And this is one of my favorite things that we have done as a couple. You had booked this as a gift for me. And you even had, like, the driver had the champagne and everything ready. So, it is a separate price from the ride itself. Like, you can buy cocktails or drinks or whatever, and you can have it on the ride. So,
yeah.
We did do that. And it was very nice, and I really enjoyed it. So, that's why I mentioned, like, this is one of my things that I think about when I think about things for couples to do. Whether it be some kind of special celebration, like a birthday or a promotion, or something, you know, more typical like your engagement anniversary.
Yeah. And you can book this for them too, being that you're the travel guru. But it's a 25-minute ride over there, Port Orleans Riverside, and you have to be at the Levee Marina. And then it fits up to 4 adults. So the carriage could fit up to 4 adults or 2 adults and 3 small children. And each horse-drawn carriage ride at this point costs $55. So if you're interested in that, you could always call 407-WDW-PLAY. And guests must be 18 years of age or have a parent or guardian, of course, to call. But, you know, as I said, you know, 4 adults, 2 children, so a small family or just the 2 of you. But once again, we are... You know, not talking about the kids. This is the couple's day out, if you will.
Yes.
And so, yes, there's some accessibility and guest policies and things right there for show safety. You know, if it's raining and lightning, of course, you're not going to go doing that. The safety of the horse is important.
I was going to say the poor horse. Like, no.
No, you have to. Yeah,
you have to take care of the poor horsey.
Take care of the horsey. And halfway through your walk around or your trip around with the carriage, the horse will have to take like a 5-minute break because the horse gets a little tired.
It's hot.
Horse gets a little tired and needs a little rest and something to drink. So there you go. I love the specialty cruises is,
number 9.
There you go. And you could charter a private watercraft to sit. Wait, hold on. Should I get my Disney voice on?
No.
Okay.
But you can't.
Charter a private watercraft and set sail on a relaxing specialty cruise from one of the Walt Disney World marinas. You won't want to miss the fireworks. You get the world-class fireworks during an ever-enchanting nighttime cruise. Fun for all ages, but definitely great for the couples there. You can, get that chartered boat.
There's the World Showcase Lagoon that you can do that over at Epcot. And then if you're wanting to catch the fireworks at Magic Kingdom, they've got the Seven Seas Lagoon and Bay Lake Cruises that are available.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So what's included? You're going to be accompanied by a captain or a skipper, if you will. Assorted snacks, soft drinks, festive banners and balloons, all also included in the cost that can be requested at the time that you book, right? And it's a 25-foot boat starting at $399 plus tax, and it seats up to 10 guests. But once again, you can just charter the boat with just you and your loved one, say it's just for two.
Or you could do five couples.
Or you could do a bunch of couples. Yes, you could. You've got to arrive an hour and 15 minutes prior before the fireworks. Boats are not equipped with full-size dining tables, but a cocktail table is provided. It says, for guests with limited mobility, wheelchair ECV transfer is necessary. And there's a two-day cancellation policy. Full price will be charged or forfeited for cancellations within 2 days of the reservation and for no-show. So you got to go on this. You got to go on it, though. It's pretty awesome. So specialty cruises, ask Kristen about how you can do that there. I like those. It's nice. You should be able to see Harmonious from the water, too. That'll be nice, right?
Yes.
Sweet. Okay, here's another thing we've done in the past.
It's the Surrey bikes.
Surrey bikes. Not like the Black Panther Surrey. But Surrey bikes, which are great. That's, because
it's like Surrey?
Surrey. Surrey? Yes, it's Surrey. Surrey? No, it's Surrey. It's spelled Surrey. But I'm getting confused.
Okay. Any which way? Surrey bikes. Okay, Surrey bikes.
So the Surrey bikes cover more ground when you rent. And you have these, it's not necessarily a different kind of tandem bike. It's two on a side. You have one, you know, it's a four.
You can do two or four people.
Two or four people, yeah. So there you go. So there.
It's $25 per person.
Yeah, $25 per person. And there you have it. And you want to talk about this?
Yeah, you can do this over at Boardwalk Inn and Villas, Old Key West, Port Orleans, both French Quarter and Riverside, as well as Saratoga Springs.
I like it. These are fun, especially down there by Boardwalk. We'll talk about Boardwalk later, but man, they're fun. They are fun. How about this? You want to take this?
It's the Beachcomber Shack.
Okay. And what's so special about these?
They're fun because you're outside, you're relaxing.
It's kind of like a cabana. Kind of like a cabana. Yes. Kind of.
Cabanas are another good thing too.
Yeah, like they do. And they do that. Yes. Okay. It's going to cost you when you do this. And this is over there at Disney's Typhoon Lagoon Water Park. Comfortable chairs, towels, and a cooler. $225 to $340, depending, I guess, on the availability and the season.
Oh, yes. And everything's all about the season.
Right?
Now, a standard, because they've got various sizes of shacks, so that also has something to do with it. If you do a standard one, it can hold up to 6 guests. The premium one will hold up to 8 guests, and then they have a premium plus, which is for 6 guests, and it has a TV, a fan, and a refrigerator, which
Holy
is crazy.
Holy smoke.
But the premium amenities that you get include towels, cushioned seats, you get a locker, a souvenir, refillable mugs for each person, and cold water that's available all day.
Cold water. I laugh because I when we bathe our babies, it's hilarious. I always threaten them with cold water. You better behave in there. Stop splashing around. And I'll say cold water. They'll be like, okay, no, daddy, don't give us cold water.
No, especially, no. Boo gets upset. She's like, no, daddy, no cold water.
The attendants are on hand to help Beachcomber Shack guests get the most out of their water park, take your food order, separate dining charges apply. That's great, though. You know, I mean, I love, you know, doing these type of things when you go to a resort. And this is the kind of thing that makes it fun when you go to, you know, the water park, when you go to Typhoon Lagoon, the fact that you can have a little bit of a respite. You know, everybody's been in the wave pool and everybody's having fun, or you went down the lazy river and now you're coming back as a couple, and you go back to your little sanctuary and you have people there to take your food order. You can sit back, relax, have a couple of adult beverages, and just have fun.
Or this is what you do when you have kids, all the adults hang out there all day while the kids go and get in the water and take the slides and all of that stuff, because they sure don't want to be just hanging out doing nothing. They want to be doing all the fun stuff. And then the adults get their alone couple time.
Yes.
It's like their own outdoor sanctuary.
Mm-hmm. Yes. This is one that I really dig. See, what number are we on now? This is what, five?
Five or six?
Right, number
six. We're at number six.
Where is my
number six?
There you go. This one's for Lee Beatons. Celebration at the top. 50th flavors and fireworks of Disney's Contemporary Resort. So if you're listening to this in the future, note that they do have some really cool fireworks kind of things that you can do up top of Disney's Contemporary. But this one is important because for the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World Resorts, you can delight your senses with hors d'oeuvres, libations, and fireworks as you join us for the world's most magical celebration. And so there you go. Very neat. So at the top of the world, which is right there, as I said, on the top of the Contemporary Resort, you've got an opportunity to get a bunch of really cool food.
Yes. And I'm going to say, for anybody who really wants to hear about this experience, check out the December 13th episode of Dining at Disney, because Tony Castelnuova from Disney Parks Podcast was on the show and he had done this and talked all about it. Mm-hmm. So if you want to hear details about it, that's definitely where you can do that.
It makes me want to go do it. Makes me want to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Indulge in a high energy cocktail party and joining enjoying fine food, simmering sips, beautiful music while you await an incredible fireworks spectacular, right? Of course, guests ages 21 and over can also enjoy the adult beverages, including California wine, beers, and cordials. And there you have it. Hey, what kind of food are you going to be able to get there?
Well, it's going to be California-inspired food.
Because it is a California grill.
You're going to have things like sushi, small bites, favorite dishes from over the years that have been on the menu, desserts. So if you're looking to some of the favorites from the past, you'll definitely find those. You will get at the end of your meal, after they do the fireworks, you'll get to enjoy Petit Four desserts, cordials, and coffee. This is $129 per person plus tax and gratuity.
Yeah, and don't look like a bum when you go.
Yeah, there is a dress code because, again, it is signature dining. And there is always a dress code for signature dining at Disney.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Once again, Kristen can help you book that as well. Pretty, pretty neat. So this is something we did. Have you considered perhaps doing a spa day as a couple at the Disney World Resort? Maybe, perhaps. Has it crossed your mind? Maybe you've seen the signs there at the different resorts, whether it be Grand Floridian. Sorry, you were talking about California Grill. I just had California in my mind. Grand California Grill. I said it again,
the Grand
y'all.
Floridian spa. At the Grand Floridian.
Right? So the deluxe resorts are going to have these cool spas.
Yes.
And in fact, I think they even have a spa at Coronado, right?
Yes, they do.
Which
it's
is
slightly
awesome.
Different.
But yeah, yes. A little bit different. But consider a spa day. Now, we were able to do one at the Hilton in Orlando when one of our trips happened. And man, I enjoyed it, right? I mean, guys out there, you might think, I'm too manly to have a spa day.
No. That spa day was a couple's massage.
The couple's massage was legit, yo. It was legit. And I was so relaxed and we had a great time. The spa was great. Obviously super clean and relaxing. And we had fruit and water and all kinds of great things there. It was just like, I literally just could have just melted into that, whatever the massage table, it would just I was just so relaxed. But you can renew your mind, body, and spirit with this full-service spa, salon, and health club reminiscent of a serene Florida garden. And so that's a pretty cool thing. What kind of stuff can you maybe get during one of these experiences?
Well, they do body treatments, massages, manicures. So any of those things that can like overall relax your body and your mind, you can get that there.
Right on. Great stuff. And they also have a 24-hour fitness center. But I think in terms of, you know, this top 10 list that we have for couples to do or must do's.
Who wants to go to the fitness center when you're already going to be walking like 10 miles around Disney?
Some people, you know, some people.
I'm just saying, I do so much walking around Disney. Yeah, I don't have time. I don't have time to go to the gym.
All right. So we are now at
number 4.
One of the coolest things that you can do as a couple, as this is the Walt Disney World top 10 couples must do's, is do the capture your moment, right? You can get reserved a 20-minute professional photo session that captures fun and excitement of your special day in your own unique style.
At the parks.
At the parks, right? So this is something we had done in its various stages way back in the day. We actually booked a photo pass photographer back when that was a thing, maybe about 12 years ago.
Oh, I don't know.
It's been a long time.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time.
But you could do it at the resorts back in the day.
And I loved that so much. I loved that. And we did it at the Grand Floridian.
Yes. I like the fact that you can do these in the park now, because I would totally be all about doing it at Epcot.
Yes.
Or Animal Kingdom. That would be another fun one.
Well, yeah, definitely you can do that. So you can do it at the different parks. They're great for engagements, you know, the honeymoon, anniversary, all kinds of family milestones, which is awesome. And you have to book online. And you have to, well, I'd say you can book online or have Kristen book it for you. And they're limited, but you can do it. But once again, you've got to do a 20-minute session. And you have to book, if you want to do additional 20-minute sessions, you've got each one priced at $79 a session. So there you go.
You know what? We definitely should do this.
Yes.
This fall when our adoption is finalized.
Yes.
With the kids. They would love it, especially Boo. She would be, she's all about now having her picture taken now that she kind of gets how pictures work. Like, oh, hey. And what's funny is she has a pretend cell phone and she will pick it up and pretend she is taking pictures with her own phone, which cracks me up when she does that. Because she'll say to me, she'll be like, mommy, I take picture.
You know, that says here, photos are not included with the price of the session. Prints and digital downloads can be purchased separately at Pin Traders Camera Center on the Digital Disney Photo Pass webpage. Gratuity is not required. So that's important too, right?
And yes. Go ahead and do the memory maker. That way you get all your pictures.
Mm-hmm. It's
There's
weird.
There's my little free tip for you today.
Yeah, get the memory maker, get all the pictures. All right. Now, where are we now? Oh, yes. One of our favorite things. I was going to say, yes.
Number 3.
You did it for me.
I'm sorry.
So we have these awesome restaurants we love going to. And now we have the little ones with us. So I'm glad we had the amount of time we had at these places. Maybe we can find a babysitter. I don't know when we want to go, but I have to say that, these restaurants are pretty amazing. I wouldn't take the kids to them, but they're pretty amazing.
Yes, they are.
Which ones of these really nice restaurants that are not Victoria and Albert's would you recommend?
I'm going to say Bull and Bear at Waldorf Astoria.
Hey.
Also over at Four Seasons, you have Kappa and Ravello, which are excellent. Mm. Then if you're in Disney Springs, Wine Bar George is a must do. If you're looking for just some fun cocktails, Hangar Bar is a great place to go to. There's a lot of great places to have drinks when it comes to Disney. Raglan Road.
Oh yeah.
If you like beer and whiskey, that's a good place.
Well, the bar scene is one thing because there are a lot of great bars and lounges, but in terms of just amazing restaurants, and we could have done an entire show on this, and you'll probably do this for Dining at Disney podcast. But you know, when you look at dining at the Four Seasons, when you look at dining at
any of the signature restaurants,
of course, Gico, which is amazing. We go just about any time we can. Flying Fish. Those signature restaurants are amazing. And like I said, when you go to the Waldorf Astoria there or Four Seasons, all there in the same place. And even the Hilton, well, we can't, it's not the Hilton anymore. What is it called?
Oh, why'd you have to ask me that? Well, anyway, I was just looking at that online.
But anyway, those restaurants are all great. So you can't go wrong. I even like eating at Plancha.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you do the brunch, especially, was super great.
Hollywood there at Four Brown Seasons. Derby over
Hollywood it. Brown Derby is a great place. Le Chefs de France is a great place to kind of kick it, you know, for having dinner. But let's talk about the bars a little bit. I guess we could do this,
number
right?
Number two.
So we talk about Disney Springs, and you mentioned the bar scene, which is great. So you went from the restaurants now to the bars and the lounges, and there's a lot of them, Disney Springs. You talked about Wine Bar George, which is wonderful for couples.
For food and for...
And for food and for drink, yeah. Right? And I would also say...
Raglan Road.
Raglan Road is great for adults and couples. The other one I think I could recommend in terms of lounges... Because they do have that one. Was that? Which one was the nautical one? We went to. There are two particular.
Are you talking about the boathouse?
Not the boathouse. It's not downtown Disney. It's just a lounge over there. It's over there at. I'm having a brain freeze. But anyway,
in Disney Springs?
No, it's not in Disney Springs. Oh. I said restaurants, and lounges,
you're
bars.
You're talking about Yacht Club.
Yacht Club.
Yeah. I'm drawing a blank all of a sudden on the name of that.
Yeah, and the Beauty and the Beast Lounge. What is that one over there?
That is Enchanted Rose.
Enchanted Rose at
Grand Floridian.
Grand Floridian. Yep. I'm just having, it's late, guys.
We're tired. It's been a long weekend.
It's been a very long weekend. So anyway, great stuff there for sure. Disney Springs is just a lot of fun as a couple anyway. So yeah, please check that out if you will. And last but not least,
number one,
talking about bars, talking about everything kind of all encompassing in one little area. Awesome couples night out. You and your significant other should definitely go hit up Disney's Boardwalk.
So many things you can do there. I mean, if you're looking for more of like, you're looking for a really fun night, I would say get a drink at Abracadabra. Then you go and have your dinner at Flying Fish. And then to wrap it all up, you go to Jelly Rolls.
There you go. Okay, Kristen, just planned your date night. Right? I just love it. Taking a stroll there along the boardwalk, you get to see everybody on the midway doing their thing. There's entertainers that go out there. You've got all kinds of great stuff just to do. And it's just such a romantic vibe. It is just wonderful. Absolutely just wonderful. And just walking around, going to the shops, and you know, if you want to get ice cream, you can go get ice cream. If you want to go in and have a drink over Abracadabra, it's just amazing. I love that place. So
I like the cocktail that has the cotton candy on top.
Yes, 100%. 100% gang. Well, I hope you liked our top 10 must-do couples activities there at the Walt Disney World Resort. We kind of gave you 11 there, if you count Victoria and Albert's there as one. Even though it's not open right now, we do hope that it will be in the future. So that said,
number seven.
Oop, that said, I hit the wrong button as I do, because it is what I do here in this crowded space that I have. I can't wait for a new desk. I really, really want that new desk. Anyway, we shall bid you adieu and say until next time. Kristen, why don't you tell everybody where they can email you for your expertise and help book their next Disney trip or cruise and all of that stuff on social that you do.
Well, if they are looking for travel, they can contact me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com, and I can help them with Disney, Universal, and any cruise line. And then if you're looking for Disney food information, news, reviews, all that stuff, check out Dining at Disney, the podcast. We do that twice a week, as well as diningatdisney.com. And you can follow us on all of your favorite social media and podcasting platforms. Al John, you want to tell everybody where they can find you?
Absolutely. You can check me out on Instagram, Al John Go. Very easy. You can also, once again, email us at thedisneylist@gmail.com. You can find us everywhere on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com, as well as everywhere you get your podcasts. And we do appreciate those 5-star reviews. We can read them on an upcoming show if you just happen to let us know. You can also check out our sister shows there, Skull Rock Podcast with myself and former creative Dave Bossert. Thank you for listening. Most importantly, we do appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in every single week to the Disney List. My name's Al John.
And I'm Kristen.
And we'll see you real soon.
The information and opinions expressed in this podcast are for entertainment and informational purposes. All of the trademarks mentioned are the property of their respective owners.
Skull Rock Podcast, talking all things Disney, with your hosts, Al John Go and Dave Bossert.
Do you just love to learn more about the magic that embodies animated films, theme park attractions, and more? The all-encompassing universe created and produced by the genius of Walt Disney has spanned nearly 100 years and counting.
From his earliest film endeavors with the Laugh-O-Gram cartoons and the Alice comedies, to the creation of Mickey Mouse, to the first animated feature film, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and then dreaming up Disneyland, Walt Disney continuously raised the creative bar, and today his company has carried on that tradition as a global entertainment juggernaut. I'm Dave Bossert, artist, filmmaker, and author.
And I'm Al John Go, musician, podcaster, and radio guy. Every week, Dave and I will explore the entertainment galaxy that is Disney with insightful conversation, stories, and special guests talking all things Disney.
Listen to never-before-heard stories and behind-the-scenes moments from some of your favorite Disney films, theme park attractions, performances, books, music, and so much more from knowledgeable, insightful, and thought-provoking hosts and guests. Hear the latest news about Disney past, present, and future.
Skull Rock Podcast is your go-to source for the magic we all love. Skull Rock Podcast. Visit skullrockpodcast.com. I'm Al John Go, co-host of the Disney List podcast, as heard on Sorcerer Radio, as well as Skull Rock Podcast, here with my wife, Kristen. Hello.
Hello.
You are an earmarked agent who books Disney travel vacations for people all the time. Give our listeners a reason why they want to give you a call instead of just booking a trip by themselves.
Well, I can do all of the legwork for them. I have expertise. I've been to the Disney parks well over 100 times, so they've got that knowledge at their hand, as well as it saves them time and money.
Where can people get in touch with you so that they can book their next Disney cruise, Disney park trip, Adventures by Disney?
They can contact me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.